The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm Tammy Grimes. It is true that our mystery theater dwells more on man's criminal intentions and deeds, and whenever possible, the law's retribution. However, sometimes events are in disarray, and men and women caught up in those times are like actors in the wrong play. To quote the poet Watson, they are blessed that have not much to rue, that have not oft misheard the prompter's cue. Stammered and stumbled, and the wrong parts played, their lives a tragedy of errors made.
Clara.
Benito. Oh, it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'm sorry to telephone you at such an hour, but the Grand Council just ended the meeting.
Where are you?
In my office at the Palazzo Venezia.
So what happened?
The worst. Fascism is dead.
What did the council say? Benito, please, tell me.
I never realized I had that many enemies among my friends.
Our mystery drama, The Last Days of a Dictator, has been written especially for the Mystery Theater by G. Frederick Lewis and stars Bernard Grant and Earl Hammond. I shall return shortly with Act One.
Taking a laxative?
Yeah, traveling throws my system off.
But so can a laxative.
Not Metamucil.
That's Metamucil?
Metamucil Instant Mix. In little packets.
Ooh.
Easy to take along.
And easy on your system. Because Metamucil is made from natural fiber with no chemical stimulants, more doctors recommend Metamucil for really gentle relief.
I like that orange flavor.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Easy to take.
If not nature, Metamucil. Read label and follow directions.
Saturday on CBS TV, Walt Disney's greatest dream comes true as Danny Kaye leads you on a musical tour of the futuristic Epcot Center at Disney World. Live and play among the wonders of the 21st century in Future World. Step aboard Spaceship Earth for a journey into the distant past and then into the future. Marie Osmond, Drew Barrymore of E.T., and two unusual robots are your guides on a very special Walt Disney. Saturday at 8, 7 Central and Mountain on CBS TV.
I'm starting up.
I'm saving up.
I'm moving up.
I'm thinking up.
Think Uptown National. Uptown National Bank.
If your bank doesn't seem to know what's up with your business account, look Uptown National Bank up. Your company needs the commitment of commercial bank officers who will work with you as well as for you. Uptown National Bank officers will give your company the concentrated effort it takes to maintain the goals you've worked hard to develop. They'll introduce new ideas, give you answers, arrange for the capital you need, and you won't wade through layer upon layer of officers before you reach the decision makers. Think Uptown National Bank on Broadway at Lawrence or Clark at Norwood. Uptown National Bank is where business is looking up. Uptown National is a member of the FDIC.
I'm checking up.
I'm keeping up.
I'm working up.
I'm looking up.
Think Uptown National. Uptown National Bank.
Today, a lesson of history with a caution. Don't tempt fate too far, for it was destiny that rode all the way to hell on the back of dictator Benito Mussolini. He became embroiled with Hitler, believed his own lies, attacked France and Greece, was defeated, lost Italian East Africa to the British, and had to be rescued by the Nazis. And now we have arrived at July 1943, some 2,000 years since another Caesar was stabbed in the back. Among the plotters this time are two Roman statesmen riding in a limousine.
My dear Minister of Justice.
I am no longer that, my dear, but I lost that post February last. But I am still President of the Chamber.
And you know the dangers.
Grandi, Rome is on fire. The allies are in Sicily, and the king won't get rid of Mussolini.
Vittorio Emanuele believes the sun rises and sets on Benito.
Is there no way to make the king understand?
He doesn't want to see. You can't make him understand. All Italy has left to defend itself are 7 infantry divisions, no armored cars. Everything has been set to help Hitler.
Is there any possibility, Grandi, of retaking Sicily from the Allies?
With 70 fighter planes? That's all that's left. No, the first thing to change is Mussolini himself. We must somehow call the chamber together to get rid of that monster and make peace before every Italian man has died.
I don't see how. The Italian people still think of Mussolini as a god.
Only King Victor can dismiss him. But the council has the power to convene and make him face us. Now, all we have to do is to dare use that power. Here's a resolution I've drafted for the king. I offer the king 2 alternatives. Either Mussolini must make the chamber and the Grand Council working members of the government.
With a voice in the government as we had before.
Or 2, the king himself must be restored command of all the armed forces, and he, not the Duce, must be the supreme head of state. Otherwise, Italy is lost.
There is no question the Allies are going to win. We must join them before it's too late.
Here we are at my apartment. Here, come on up and we will talk further. What's that big envelope on the whole table?
Careful. Careful, it's not a bomb.
The only bomb it could be would be the news that Mussolini has been murdered. My Lord. It is a bombshell, all right.
You're joking. He's not dead.
Well, he just might be, politically. It's a summons from the party secretary.
Scorpio.
The Duce has agreed to convene the Grand Council in 4 days at the Palazzo Venezia.
Let me see. At 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Fantastic. Now I don't have to go with my hat in my hand to that coward of a king. Between now and Saturday, I'll get signatures endorsing my order of the day from all members of the council.
28 signatures.
Well, it does not have to be unanimous. But the more the better. Saturday, well, what's the date, Butai?
July 24th.
July 24th. That will be the Ides of March for this Caesar. They're all coming. Every one of them. Stand in front of me for a moment, will you, Botai?
What are you doing? Fixing your shoe?
That's better. Let's sit right here.
Grandi, what is that you have attached to your leg?
It's a grenade.
What? You've got a live grenade strapped to your leg?
It's so loud. I don't have nearly enough signatures yet. If it so happens that Mussolini wins the day and the council sides with him, he will call out the militia to arrest me. Then I shall blow myself up.
Oh, Grandi, reflect. What good can that do?
I'm deadly serious, Botai. If Mussolini stays in power, I won't go on living in a slave state, an Italian vassal to Germany. Gentlemen, we have sat here now for an hour and listened to Il Duce give his explanations of our Italian disasters at El Alamein, Africa, Pantelleria, and now Sicily. We have heard that it was the fault of our army. It was the army's weakness that has led us into disaster. Well, I challenge that. It is dictatorship, and dictatorship alone that is responsible for our tragedy. The Italian people were betrayed by you, Mussolini, on the day when you first began to Germanize Italy. Comrades, this is the man who drove us into Hitler's arms. He dragged us into a war that is against the honor and the feelings of the Italian people. Italy was lost the very day you, Mussolini, put on the gold braid of a marshal on your cap. Take off those ridiculous ornaments, plumes, and feathers. Be again the Mussolini of the barricades. Our Mussolini.
The people are with me.
Mussolini, I leave you with the words you yourself spoke 20 years ago when you said, let all factions perish, even fascism, so long as the nation can be saved.
I have here a note passed to me from the party secretary. Because of the hour, some comrades propose this meeting should be postponed until tomorrow.
I will not agree to that. In the past, you have often kept the entire Grand Council here till dawn discussing far less urgent matters. Now, we do not leave tonight until we have discussed and voted on my order of the day.
Very well. Let us continue.
I will agree to a 15-minute recess.
Grandi, how do you suppose Mussolini will rebut your charges?
My dear Bottai, we are about to find out. Our dictator is getting to his feet.
It seems there are people here who would like to be rid of me. People with short memories. 400 new bridges. One of them 2.25 miles long. Ponte della Liberta between Venezia and the mainland. From Calabria to Switzerland, 600 telephone exchanges. The reclamation of the Pontine Marshes, which could not be done by Julius Caesar or Nero, I did. 180,000 acres of swamp, now a garden of food. You were all once proud to live in the time of Mussolini.
Ancient history, Duce. Italy is now dying because of you. We are now slaves of Hitler, not the sons of Julius Caesar.
You have all had your say. You have all had the opportunity to take apart a lifetime. 60 years of service to my country. When I tell the king about this meeting tomorrow, he will say, some of your men have left you, but I, the king, I'm with you. Perhaps none of you were ever my friend. But the king, he is with me. And I wonder what will happen tomorrow to those who have opposed me tonight.
Duce is blackmailing us. He is forcing us to choose between our own fidelity to his person and our devotion to Italy. Gentlemen, we cannot hesitate a moment. It is Italy. We must put it to a vote.
There are 19 ayes, 8 noes, and 1 abstention.
Grandi's motion has been carried. The meeting is closed. Count Dino Grandi, you have provoked the crisis of the regime. You have killed fascists. Yes, Clara. It's late and I'm sorry to wake you, but the meeting just closed. Almost 12 hours. Now it is over.
It's 4 in the morning, but that doesn't matter. How are you, dearest? Where are you?
In my study at the Palazzo Venezia.
What happened?
The worst. For the first time, I could not convince them.
But what happened? Please tell me.
It's all over, Clara. Pack your bags and go somewhere and hide. Don't think about me.
You're very tired. It was too long a session. I want to see you tomorrow. What time?
I am going to see Vittorio Emanuele.
The king? At what time?
As soon as he will receive me.
Oh, well, he will cheer you up. I know.
Good night, Clara.
Benito, welcome.
Your Majesty, an honor. You have heard about the childish prank at last night's meeting of the Grand Council?
Not a childish prank at all.
Your Majesty, I have brought some plans in this briefcase to replace some of the old generals with some new ones.
Never mind.
And I have an idea to end the entire war. This morning, I begged the Japanese ambassador to contact the Japanese president Tojo immediately. to put pressure on Herr Hitler to end the Russian war and begin peace negotiations.
My dear Duce, things are not working out in Italy any longer. The army's morale is low. The soldiers don't want to fight anymore.
See, precisely why I want to change the generals in my briefcase. Your Majesty, let me show you.
I am trying to make you understand, Benito. It is you who stand in the way of peace. The vote of the Grand Council reflects that without a doubt. 19 votes for Grandi's resolution. Don't have any illusions. That vote expresses the way the country feels towards you. Today, you are the most hated man in Italy. You cannot count on a single friend except me.
But what happens now if I am not to be trusted?
The only person who can control the present situation is Marshal Badoglio. Badoglio is the man of the moment. He will form a government of officers and carry on the war. He enjoys the full confidence of the army and the police.
Confidence?
That is my conclusion, and that is my decision. You are not the man for Italy any longer.
If Your Majesty is right, I should present my resignation.
And I'll have to tell you that I unconditionally accept it.
So this is how it ends.
As he left the palace, Benito Mussolini was still unable to believe that the king himself, like Nero, had turned thumbs down, had deposed him. Before he could pull himself together, the ex-dictator found he was surrounded and pushed into a Red Cross ambulance. And from that moment on, the former first fascist would be moved from hiding place to hiding place, a permanent prisoner hidden away until a bullet found his heart. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Hi, I'm George Allen, and today I want to talk to you about your children. That's right, the ones propped in front of the TV set. As a coach, I know how important physical fitness is. It can make the difference, not only in sports, but in life itself. Your children should be getting at least one period of vigorous exercise every day at school. If they aren't, ask your school officials to write Fitness, Washington, D.C. Remember, fitness is for everyone for life.
Countdown to Cure. Bill Bixby with a message from the Leukemia Society of America.
Leukemia is responsible for the deaths of more children than any other disease, and more adults than children. Research by the Leukemia Society of America has brought us this close to finding a cure, but we need your help to continue the fight. It'll be a happy day when we put an end to this killer. It's a matter of time.
I don't believe it.
You told you wouldn't.
I've seen you on TV for Century Tile and Supply, Eileen, but the variety of Armstrong floor tile patterns and colors here at Century is unbelievable.
And Century sells Armstrong tile at prices near wholesale to you every day.
I believe that.
And Century is a leading supplier of Armstrong's new no-wax Solarian floors. Armstrong Solarian is best because Armstrong's Mirabond surface stays brighter and glossier with very little maintenance.
I believe that.
And Century's professional counter people help you choose from hundreds of 1982 in-stock no-wax Armstrong patterns and colors. They'll show you how to measure, cut, and prepare your floor so you can install your Armstrong floor with confidence. Best of all, you won't believe Century's prices.
Unbelievable.
Told you.
See the most in Armstrong tile in four centuries. Lombard, Mount Prospect, two Chicago locations. Open 7 days. MasterCard and Visa. Century Tile and Supply will make a believer out of you, too.
It is late July 1943. The Allies are digging in Sicily. It is only a matter of time before Italy falls. Mussolini has been ousted as dictator and has been hidden by the Italians, fearful he will be captured and turned over to the enemy. At the Rome airport, a man in a Luftwaffe captain's flying jacket steps out of a plane and greets a German officer of high rank.
Otto Scorzini?
Yes, Eugene Dolman.
Yeah. Good journey from Berlin.
Dolman, since you are the highest ranking German here in Rome, in the name of the Führer, I must ask you to give me your word that what I shall tell you must be treated as top secret.
My assurances. Let us walk and talk. That is my car. Over there.
Ah, yes, good, good. I have been picked by the Führer himself to find Benito Mussolini and bring him to Germany.
My information is that you are the chief of the Central State Security Division.
Yes, that's correct.
After you, Herr Scorsese.
Otto, we will be working together a great deal.
Driver, the consulate.
Dolman, I tell you the Führer's exact words. He said to me, Mussolini, my friend and loyal comrade in arms, was betrayed by his king and arrested by his own countrymen. I cannot leave Italy's greatest son in the lurch. Mussolini must be rescued promptly or he will be handed over to the Allies. How many German divisions are stationed in Italy today?
July 25th. 8 divisions.
Well, by tomorrow morning, 3 more divisions will be crossing the Brenner Pass, the Tavis, and the St. Bernard. Operation Alaric. The purpose of those troops is to disarm the Italian forces. We'll turn their soldiers into factory workers and their factories to plants for the Reich.
And who else has been informed of the planned rescue of Mussolini?
No one. Only you and I know of its mission. The Führer stressed that. We have been aware of Italy's collapse for 5 months.
What can I do to help?
I have the airfield surrounded. Within 48 hours, 10,000 paratroopers will be landing. I have trucks ready to take them away. Even in the highest places in Berlin, it is a secret that we are about to kidnap Mussolini.
But the material to do the job?
Well, Karl Radl is rounding it up. The code name for that is the macaroni is burning. So, Eugene, be prepared. The day after tomorrow, we'll expect 3 or 4 Junker 52 transports loaded.
Otto, are you carrying on the search alone? I mean, first to find where he's been taken.
Naturally, you are going to help. I'll get a hold of your informants, encourage everyone to be on the lookout for any suspicious increase of Carabinieri. Now, make no mistake, finding Mussolini at this moment is as vital to Herr Hitler as the entire Russian campaign. Eugene, I've been here 2 days now, and the reports of where Mussolini is get more ridiculous every hour. Now, let me have the ones that came in today.
Very well. Mussolini has committed suicide.
Nonsense.
The Duce is in a northern clinic, mortally sick after a stroke.
Do you know whether he had a heart condition?
He has had ulcers, but his heart is fine. This report says Mussolini is in Spain as General Franco's honored guest.
Next.
Disguised as a humble black shirt on the Sicilian front.
On the face of that, isn't it ridiculous? How could he be protected or disguised? It's an unmistakable face, yes. Now, is that it?
That is all on paper. But we have some informants.
Who first?
One of our men found a grocer who supplies customers near Gaeta.
Where's that?
85 miles south of Rome. And this grocer heard from a German sergeant whose girlfriend is a local housemaid that a very high-ranking prisoner was to be sent to the prison on the island of Ponza, 20 miles off the coast.
You have that sergeant?
He's right outside.
Well, send him in.
Heil Hitler.
You are sergeant?
Yes, sir. 4th Armored Brigade.
Tell your story, please.
About midnight on the 27th of July, we had an air raid. The streets of Gaeta were empty. A convoy of cars drove up to a deserted wharf where I was stationed. The Duce stepped out of one of the cars.
You're sure it was the Duce?
It could have been no one else. The corvette Persephone was tied up. He went aboard, and the boat set out for Ponza, where the prison is.
That's right. Thank you, sergeant. Dismiss.
Heil Hitler.
Well, that's the first piece of hard information we've had. You'll send someone over to Ponza to make sure, yes? I have an idea the man the sergeant saw could have been a double to throw anyone off the track.
You have to put yourself into the shoes of the Italians. What is it they desire the most?
To be out of the war and to be on the side of the Allies.
And what price do they have to offer in exchange?
Mussolini.
Exactly. Why don't we let Badoglio and the king and the communists Why don't we let them all think that is the case? That such a deal is in the making.
Yes, fake a coded message from Washington to Badoglio and to Vittorio Emanuele that if they hand over Mussolini, they can have the alliance.
Isn't it worth a try?
I'll get in touch with Berlin and have the experts work on it. Eugene! Oh, they swallowed it hook, line, and sinker.
What, Otto?
Not only that, but they've agreed.
Are you talking about that fake offer from the Allies?
Yes, well, I just got a report from our listening post. The Italian government agreed to turn over Mussolini if the Free French and the British and the Americans let them join. We were able to intercept the Italian reply, but in the meantime, it gives us a chance to smoke out where they're hiding the Duce.
It was not the island of Ponza. Our people were there.
Eugene, I want you to work closely with me on this. Daily accounting of the whereabouts of every brigade of carabinieri.
Yes. Wherever there's a sudden concentration, there must be a reason.
They're guarding someone. And that someone could be our dish.
Of macaroni.
Ben, we believe we now know where the Italians have hidden the Duce. I spoke with the Führer this morning. I told him Mussolini will be found at the Campo Imperatore in the Abruzzi Mountains. That with airplanes and gliders, we will find our men. Now, we all know that to land a glide in a forest is no easy task. Now, you 36 men, glider pilots, towing pilots, are responsible for the success of the operation. At 12:30 p.m., 12 Heinkel 126s will take off from Pratica Airport. Each glider will carry fully armed SS men and paratroopers. 108 of us altogether. That is our job. To land, to capture Mussolini, and to bring him back to Germany.
You stupid farm woman. Get those cars out of my sight.
Duce, it is not my fault. I was minding my sheep. You were walking. It was you who asked me, can I read the cards? It was you who asked me here.
Don't believe a word of what the cards say. Go away!
I have done this all my life. I have always told the truth. I told you what I saw, Duce.
Get out! I don't need you. I don't want you. I asked them, bring me my Clara. They have her locked up somewhere else. It is hopeless.
Not in the cards. It is not hopeless. You will find your lady. It is in the cards.
All right, all right, all right. Lay them all out again and see what they say.
There, see. Exactly as before. The cards say you are to be rescued in romantic circumstances. It will all end happily for you.
Badoglio has given away Italy to the Allies. Fascism is destroyed. We have fought on the side of Hitler for nothing. I have lost my Clara, my Italy. What kind of a happy ending is that?
I know nothing of politics, Duce. I know what the cards say. And they say you will be rescued.
Eugene.
Yeah, Otto.
Yeah. You've never flown in a glider before, have you, huh?
When we dropped the cable from the towing plane, I think my heart dropped with it.
I only took you along at your own request.
Oh, I am not sorry. I want to see this to the end. Your paratroopers never feel as I do.
No, not after training. Is it aerial map? Hold it steady, Eugene. On the map, it's that black dot in the mountains. That's where we are all heading for.
Look! It's there already. We're here. Now look. About 450 feet below us. There, you see that white building shaped like a horseshoe?
Yeah. I pray that's a good omen. And we will all have to luck beneath.
Well, I'm counting on more than luck. 100 men against I don't know how many carabinieri. But the surprise attack always has the advantage. Hitler, I'm Führer. I bring you Benito Mussolini as a gift from the German people to celebrate your birthday.
Heil Hitler. Otto Scorsini, you shall be rewarded. Luce, take the most comfortable chair. Welcome to Rastenburg.
My Führer, how can I thank you for all you have done? From now on, I shall do everything in my power to remedy my mistakes.
You are putting your hand to your stomach. What have the doctors said?
Colitis, ulcers. They won't tell me the worst it could be. I don't like to think about it.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I was afraid you would want to rest. 47 days in different prisons, not easy. However...
No. I am all right. My Führer, you can count on me.
That is the man I need. The Mussolini of old, the man of action, the man of the barricades.
What do you wish me to do, Führer?
I need Italy. I need her men, her army, her industrial potential. I need her unbroken line of defense across the boot from Pisa to Rimini to hold back the Allies while I take Europe.
And how can I help?
We have been betrayed by your Badoglio capitulating to the Allies. It has hurt us. What's the matter is this fascism of yours, Duce, that it melts like snow under the sun. Duce, I want you back in Italy to rule.
I am very tired. I have been dragged from prison to prison. You said so yourself. Führer, just a few days to reflect.
I have already reflected. You will proclaim yourself Duce again, head of state.
Yes, my Führer.
I will give you an hour to rest. Then we will meet for the second part of my plans. And I demand not only reparations, but other conditions. Other conditions. Do you hear?
Yes, I hear, my Führer.
Mussolini has written that Hitler offered him no choice. If he had not become the puppet ruler, Hitler warned him, northern Italy will envy the fate of Poland. Mussolini was only 60, but he felt 100 years older than that. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
Come to the White Westy House holiday.
Right now, your precise book.
I wrote a book on relieving arthritis pain, and I recommend icy hot cream in the tube. Rub it on. Icy Hot's penetrating warmth reaches way down inside to help relieve minor pain, while a feeling of coolness soothes your skin. I'm convinced the greaseless Icy Hot cream will give you fast, effective relief that lasts for hours.
Use only as directed.
This is WBBM News Radio 78 in Chicago. Do you know where the best place to buy carpeting is? Well, at John M. Smith, they think the very best place to buy carpeting is in your own home, because there you can match the carpet you like with your other furnishings. And that's the reason for John M. Smith's popular in-home service. When you call 236-9400, Smith brings their beautiful carpet selection to you, so you can make that important decision right there in your own home. You'll like the John M. Smith selection, and you're sure to love the prices. For example, this week only, you can own a luxuriously thick Kerastan carpet for 30% off. 30% off, that makes a 12 by 18 foot carpet less than $400 for luxurious Kerastan and installed wall to wall with deluxe padding. Call 236-9400 this week only and you'll receive a ServiceMaster cleaning kit free with your order. So shop at home for your lovely Kerastan carpet. This week you'll save substantially and get a 10-piece cleaning kit free. This week only from John M. Smith. Phone
236-9400. Mussolini, once hailed as a leader of men, had become not only a follower, but an inferior dependent hunted by his kinsmen and protected by his enemy. Ambition had curdled, and it was but the shell of a man who met with Adolf Hitler to discuss what conditions Hitler offered.
Benito, old comrade, you were betrayed by your king and your grand council. Most of those traitors have already left Italy. Dino Grandi and his family are in Lisbon. Giuseppe Bottai has disappeared. But your son-in-law, Count Ciano, who plotted against you and voted against you, a traitor four times over, must be dealt with. We shall find him and turn him over to you, because it is preferable the death sentence be carried out in Italy.
But, my Führer,
He is the husband of my daughter, the father of my grandchildren. How can I?
Then Cyrano deserves punishment all the more. Not only because he betrayed his country, but also his family.
I cannot,
Duce. You are too good. You can never be a dictator.
My Führer, try to understand me. I do not wish to be a dictator. I have no personal ambitions left in me. There is no way to resurrect fascism in Italy. And I cannot be responsible for lighting the fuse of a civil war in my country.
I must make myself a little more clear. I want you, Duce, to proclaim yourself as head of the Italian government, as an example of the terrible punishment that lies in store for any one of our allies who dares now to defect. Duce, our meeting is concluded. You act as I have told you. I am glad to see you in such good spirits.
Can I have a week, 1 week to think?
We cannot lose a day. But tomorrow evening, you will make a radio announcement that the monarchy is abolished and that an Italian fascist state has taken its place. That the German-Italian alliance is as strong as ever.
Black shirts, men and women of Italy.
Benito, it is the voice of the
Mephistopheles. Listen to the radio.
After a long silence, you hear my voice again, which I am sure you recognize.
Miriam, come quickly. Clara has fainted. Mussolini's mistress has fainted.
My dearest Benito, the day when I heard your voice on the radio saying you were coming back to rule Italy again, I thought it was a dream. But here you are, acknowledged as the supreme leader you always were.
Clara, little one, don't fool yourself. For 2 months I've sat at this desk and signed the papers and given orders meaning nothing. I don't rule Italy. Hitler rules. I obey.
Oh, Benito, that's not true. It's the trial that's upset you.
Trial. Those who are once my best friends, my own son-in-law, 6 of them, railroaded to death, and I have been party to betraying them by keeping silent.
But they voted against you in the Grand Council.
They only voted for that they are being shot. But when their plea for clemency comes, you will see I shall pardon them, all of them, the 6 of them. The priest, Don Giuseppe, is arranging it. He told me, I shall stand up to Hitler, and I shall pardon them. Clara, what time is it? Go to the window. Tell me, the moment you see the messenger arrive with a petition for pardon.
My darling, when the messenger arrives from the Verona prison, he will ring and ring, and we shall hear him. I don't even watch for him.
You're right. He's a Roman. He would know I would have been waiting up all night. What time is it?
6:45.
Already? 6:45 in the morning.
Well, I think my watch is fast. Let me make you some tea.
No, don't, Clara. No, I have such pains. Anything I drink. Where is that messenger? I must be able to grant clemency. My own son-in-law. They told me. Don Giuseppe told me if the shooting goes through, they will seat them each on a chair. They will tie them to a chair with their backs to the guns. My own son-in-law. And I will be hated forever.
But you have forgotten how much you were loved and respected.
I'm so cold. I'm cold all over. As if something terrible had just happened. Clara. I'm shaking. I'm shaking with cold.
Let me sit beside you. Let me put my arms around you. My dear Benito, do you remember the first time we met at Ostia, 1932? You drove up in your car. I was 20, and you were the great Duce, the savior of Italy. And I said to my mother, I'll go and introduce myself. I'll never have another chance like this.
In Ostia? I do not remember, Clara.
Oh, yes. I was wearing a big hat. hat. You signaled to the police guard to let me through. And I told you I had written poems to you and sent them to you. And you pretended to remember. You were so sweet.
Oh, my God, it is cold in here.
And you said to me, you are trembling, young lady. Are you cold? And I said, no, Duce. It is the emotion. Don't you remember that, my darling?
Yes. Of course, I remember.
And then I married Felipe and then divorced. And then you and I met again. And then, oh, I shall never forget the day my mother came into the room and said, Benito Mussolini himself came to visit me today, she said. I didn't know what my mother meant. And then she said, the Duce said to me, Signore Petacci, have I your permission to love Clara?
Seven. It's too late. It's over. They were all too proud to ask for clemency. Don't they know I would have pardoned them?
You can't be so sure, Benito, darling. Darling, try to remember the good time.
My own little Clara. How can I explain? General Mark Clark of the Americans is at our gates. Never again shall I see Naples. I shall never again see Rome. It is the end. Don't you understand?
When we die, I want us to die together. I didn't hear them driving up. Did you see? The petition has come. Oh, it's Don Giuseppe.
Duce, I come to tell you I have administered the last rites to each of them. Don Giuseppe, how did the tragedy go? As you wanted it.
What
do you mean? I wanted it. For whom? Those you called to the Grand Council who dared give you advice, and you condemned them to death. We talked, you and I. You said they would all sign a petition for clemency. And I've been waiting here hour after hour. Clara is my witness to forgive them. But they were too proud to ask. That was it, wasn't it? They would not bow and scrape before Hitler and Mussolini. I would have pardoned them. The 11th of January, 1944, a black day in the history of Verona. Six men died needlessly.
Oh, no, no, no.
My son, offer your sufferings to the Lord.
But they forgave me. Isn't that so? They forgave me, didn't they? Don't you, Sepp? When you leave here, don't tell the others how I took all this. Please, don't tell. Don't tell anyone. I fear what they will think.
Is this the town hall?
Yes, Colonel.
Follow me. Who's in charge?
I am, but I, the mayor. Who are you, sir?
Colonel Valerio, the Volunteer Freedom Corps. I want to speak to you on a matter of great importance.
I see. May I see your credentials?
All along the line, I've heard this nonsense. We know the Americans want to lay their hands on Mussolini and all of the fascist big shots. And everywhere I go, all I hear is credentials. Please, credentials.
I regret, Colonel. We are all Italians here, but it is a matter of form.
Form? I'll show you form.
Just a moment. There is no need to act like a highwayman. Put that gun away, Colonel. You are in the presence of an Italian official doing his duty.
I'll show you duty.
Mussolini here, but I don't know where he is.
We know. And his girlfriend is with him. He's here in hiding outside your village. Now, we are going to shoot every big shot we find. Those are my orders. Mayor, are you still pretending not to know where Mussolini is?
I know.
Then give us a list. I'll put black crosses to those marked for immediate death. It's better, Mayor. Much better. Now we are beginning to understand one another. Benito Mussolini, death. Clara Petacci, death.
You would shoot a woman?
She's been behind his policies all these years.
Oh, but she was nothing but his mistress. You condemn her for that?
I don't condemn anyone. The judgments have been pronounced by the People's Tribunal.
people in the world, Benito.
Are there?
Yes, when I asked the mayor, even if he's a partisan, when I said I didn't know how long we had to live, and could I spend this day and night with you, even he did not stand in the way.
Clara, why didn't you go to Spain with your mother and sister when you had the chance?
Everyone was running away from you, pretending they didn't know you. I can't live away from you.
And when they kill me?
I will die with you. There's no life for me without you. But we're safe here. He's a good mayor. He'll tell no one, and even the people in this house, they don't know who we really are.
That is true.
Benito Mussolini, Loretta Patace, open the door.
It is open.
Luce, I have come to liberate you. You and this lady will come with us. Driver, that iron gateway, stop there. Stop right here. Now, get out, both of you. Stand against the gate, you two. By order of the High Command of the Freedom Corps, I have been charged to render justice to the Italian people.
You can't kill us like that. You can't do that.
Move away from him, or we'll kill you first. Colonel Valerio reporting, sir.
Go on.
It was not clean or easy. Clara Patacci held on to Mussolini. I warned her to move away, or she would be shot first. She would not move. I fired my pistol 3 times. It jammed. I then took my revolver. It misfired. I took a gun from Moretti. Mussolini unbuttoned his jacket and he said, "Shoot me in the chest." The woman Patacci tried to pull the barrel of the gun from me. I shot her. And then I shot him. Duce has lived his last day.
Mussolini was not the instrument of fate, but its victim. He was not a man of violence when he began, but he rode into power on the coattails of the extremists of his party. He was weak, and yet he showed great strength. He was certainly proof positive of the adage, "Those who live by the sword die by the sword." I shall return shortly.
McGruff, the crime dog here, disguised in a pair of Groucho Marx glasses to show you how our neighborhood watch program works. Now listen to these folks watching me from across the street.
Harvey, come here.
What, Mildred?
Who is that across the street?
Well, I think it's a dog in disguise wearing Groucho Marx glasses.
That's pretty suspicious.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, let's call the cops.
Wait, folks. It's me, McGruff.
Oh.
And that is how a neighborhood watch program works. It's one way to, take a bite out of crime.
A message from the Crime Prevention Coalition and the Ad Council.
Our historical guest today is the great Julius Caesar. Sir, what do you think of the 20th century?
I'm green with envy. Today's doctors know so much, they could have helped my epilepsy.
The great Caesar had epilepsy?
Yes, and my doctors didn't have a clue about it. But with today's medical treatment, there's no telling what I couldn't have conquered.
Epilepsy. We've come a long way. Ask the people who know. Write the Epilepsy Foundation of America, Washington, D.C., 20013.
Sometimes forgotten that Mussolini was named Benito after the great Mexican revolutionary leader, Benito Juarez. Mussolini himself, I think, forgot the faith Juarez lived by. To entrust one's future to another, he said, is to forget the belief of liberty. A belief that leads each man to a level of greatness and dignity, so that even the lowest can rule with wisdom, compassion, and understanding. Our cast included Earl Hammond, Bernard Grant, Bill Griffiths, Louis Turenne, and Marion Seldes. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now a preview of our next tale.
Wouldn't you like to know if she is somewhere in that quarry?
even now?
No. No, I don't want to know that. I want to go on believing she's alive and she'll come back to me. That's what I want for my peace of mind. What made it all so incredible was that I couldn't be sure what had happened. Did I push Judy that night so she stumbled and fell? I mean, was she alive when I was hit on the head by chunks of rock from the slide? Had I already seen her dragged down the quarry by the rock slide? Yes or no? My mind refused to remember it that way. Bill was right. I had to go back. Stand there. Visualize it. Be there to remember what had happened.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by White Westinghouse Appliance Company. This is Tammy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Are you Ernie Keebler the elf?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Keebler, I'd like to introduce my mother.
Nice to meet you, ma'am. She seems resentful. Oh. Was it something I said?
It was something you baked. These Keebler Chips Deluxe cookies. I told Mother they reminded me of her homemade cookies.
Well, we do make our Chips Deluxe cookies with real eggs and brown sugar.
Hear that, Mums? Real eggs and brown sugar.
And we put in lots of big, soft, melt-in-your-mouth chocolatey chips. My mother always told me, Ernest, folks love cookies with big, soft chips.
Hear that, Mumsy? Big, soft chips.
Your mother told you that?
Yes, ma'am. My mother taught me all I know about baking cookies.
Hear that, Arthur? Elves listen to their mother.
If you think Keebler cookies taste like cookies someone's mother baked, remember, elves have mothers, too.
WBBM News Time is 11:25. This is Regine Schlesinger on a frosty night here in Chicago, where the command says we should be getting an overnight low down near 26 degrees under decreasingly cloudy skies with diminishing winds. Cold conditions continuing through tomorrow with a high up near only 48. Right now, 38 at O'Hare, 39 degrees along the lakefront, 64% is the humidity, and the wind is west at 9 miles an hour. In the news tonight, the St. Louis Cardinals are champions of the baseball world. The Cardinals won the Battle of the Beer City in St. Louis Wednesday night, beating the Milwaukee Brewers 6-3. That gave the Redbirds the World Series 4-3. It's the first time St. Louis has taken baseball's top prize since 1967. With the baseball season over, sports fans find themselves still without the National Football League. The month-long strike by NFL players has now wiped out 5 weeks of games. United Auto Workers officials will meet in Detroit Thursday to decide what to do about their contract stalemate with Chrysler. Chrysler workers have rejected one tentative pact that prompted the union to ask for an immediate wage increase. But Chrysler said no. The union's options include reopening talks or calling a strike. The Exxon Colony shale oil project near Parachute, Colorado was going to employ 6,000 workers. But last May, Exxon told the 2,100 people already working there that it was shutting down the facility until economic conditions improved. Well, today, a three-day auction ended that sold off all the equipment down to the last nail. An auction firm says the sale netted $5 million. Exxon says it's still planning to reopen the facility. Labor Secretary Raymond Donovan told a gathering of Rotarians in Wimpany, New Jersey today that he wants to put unemployed people to work fixing highways and bridges. But a high-ranking Labor Department official said later that the $2 billion plan, in his words, hasn't exactly cleared the White House. The president campaigned in the Midwest today. Here in Peoria, Illinois, a crowd of 150 demonstrators protesting unemployment gathered peacefully across the street from the Civic Center. They chanted and sang while Mr. Reagan attended the festivities inside. In a speech, the president again blamed America's economic troubles on past Democratic administrations. First Lady Nancy Reagan will also be in the Midwest tomorrow. She'll be in Independence, Missouri, attending the funeral of former First Lady Bess Truman. Mrs. Truman died Monday at the age of 97. John DeLorean, the American owner of a troubled auto plant in Northern Ireland, was arraigned in Los Angeles today on drug charges. He's accused of being the money man in a $24 million cocaine deal. His lawyer says the automaker will plead innocent. Bail was set at $5 million and a hearing was scheduled for November 1st. A jury deliberating conspiracy and official misconduct charges against Newark, New Jersey Mayor Kenneth Gibson and a former city council president has recessed for the day. Twice convicted mass murderer Juan Corona is due to be sentenced tomorrow in San Francisco, but the judge says he expects defense lawyers to ask for more time to prepare their motion to seek a new trial. Corona has been found guilty a second time of killing 25 migrant workers in California. A Spanish priest accused of trying to attack Pope John Paul in Portugal 5 months ago went on trial today in Portugal. At the end of the 8-hour opening session, Juan Maria Fernandez Crone was remanded in custody for psychiatric reports. Pentagon officials say U.S. warplanes intercepted two Soviet reconnaissance bombers off the East Coast today, the seventh time this year that Soviet planes entered the U.S. air defense zone. Some 200 people came out to show their support tonight for the jailed minister of the Faith Baptist Church in Louisville, Nebraska. The priest was jailed after he reopened the church school despite a court order. Tonight, a judge ordered the padlock removed from the church after he was promised that no more classes would be held in it. The church had been closed after it refused to hire state-certified teachers. An unusual October snowstorm swept across the Corn Belt, pushing snow a foot deep across southeastern South Dakota and southern Minnesota into Wisconsin and Michigan. In southeastern Minnesota, the body of a man whose truck skidded on an icy highway was found early today. A fish processing vessel that's been burning in Everett, Washington, exploded tonight, rattling walls along the waterfront. The Coast Guard says it's still too dangerous for emergency crews to move in. The ship is carrying toxic liquid ammonia, but winds have carried the acrid smoke away from the town.
This is Spectrum. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Ben Wattenberg. Well, the Polish military junta, General Jaruzelski manager, Leonid Brezhnev conglomerate chief executive officer, has declared the Solidarity Labor Union illegal. The workers in the Gdansk shipyard, where Solidarity leader Lech Wałęsa began the movement, went on strike. In came the military to break it up using water cannons. The government then militarized the whole shipyard so that if anyone had the audacity to strike again, they could be tried for treason. It all makes one wonder why the communists in Poland and Russia get so excited about solidarity. Of course, part of it has to do with power. The communist scheme of things says that party members representing the dictatorship of the proletariat should have all the power, and they don't want to turn over any clout to an independent labor union. But it all goes much deeper than that. The communists know, they feel it in the marrow of their bones, that solidarity is a dagger in the heart of communism. After all, the call of communism, as pronounced by Karl Marx, was, "Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains." Well, in Poland, the workers did unite. They have tried to throw off their chains, and it turned out that they believe that the chains were put on them by the communists. Now, it is barely conceivable that the ruling communist potentates could tolerate some feistiness from, say, religious groups or ethnic groups or intellectuals or technocrats, but not from a union. The Communist Party says it represents the workers. To allow otherwise is to make illegitimate the whole communist cause. That is why the communists will do anything to suppress solidarity. Now, sooner or later, the Soviets are probably going to have to make the choice that they don't want to make. Go into Poland or stay out, even if trouble erupts. If they go in, it will add another bloody page to the already bloody history of communism. They will probably, sooner or later, face underground armed resistance in Poland. And that's in a country that is the linchpin of their military alliance. If they stay out, sooner or later, solidarity will reassert itself and erode the totalitarian edifice in Poland. Sooner or later, that process will spread to Eastern Europe and ultimately to the Soviet Union itself. Before all is said and done, the course of events set into motion by solidarity may turn out to be the most momentous story of our time. In the words of the old Union anthem, Solidarity forever. I'm Ben Wattenberg for Spectrum.
Six personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
It's a Wednesday night, October 20th, 1982. I'm Regine Schlesinger, here to the top stories on WBBM News Radio at 11:33.